All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, January 21st of 2026. Looking ahead here, we had some League of Legends action earlier this morning, and then we have some League of Legends action later this evening. Good luck to all of you playing some League. For the rest of the day, we have a 5-game NBA main slate, 6-game NHL slate, and then we have 14 matches of tennis as well. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, we do have a couple questions queued up here that came in prior to the show. So we will get SaberSim pulled up here, and we will just start with questions from the top down. So first question of the day, I think this has been asked slash answered before, but can you please remind me when the tennis sims are completed, or do they run again at the top of every hour until lock? Good question. It is my understanding that they run every hour up until lock. I'm like almost positive. Now, changes are going to be based on two things, either line movement as far as like Vegas odds and stuff like that, or if there were any withdrawals or anything like that. So those are like the two kind of main factors. Personally, I think that tennis sims the day of the event are going to be fine. Like right now, I don't think there's going to be that much line movement between 4 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Eastern, right? The slate is about 4 hours away. I would be totally comfortable doing my final build for this slate right now, and then just keeping an eye out to see if there are any issues with withdrawals or matches or stuff like that. So I think usually the day of, it's like totally fine to build, especially within like 6 hours. That would be my opinion. Okay, next question. Ran into something interesting tonight that I wanted to ask about. Using optimizer mode for a cash game lineup. For a cash game lineup build, my original lineup had no players starting until the 8 p.m. games. When I ran lead swap at 7:50, the slate started at 7 p.m. I got a different lineup from my original that projected 3 points worse. When I went back to standard build refresh projections and ran the standard build again, I got my original lineup that projected almost the same as before. How does late swap work on lineups that don't have any players who have started yet? Okay, good question. So part of this is that the late swap engine that we use to build lineups is technically, from a technical perspective, works differently than pre-slate. So if you're in a situation where none of your games have locked, right? Like let's say we're playing tonight, and let's say I'm playing one lineup and I don't have anybody from Cleveland, Charlotte. I would opt not to do a late swap build because we're not technically swapping anything, right? There are no locked players. It is better, in my opinion, to come in here, use the X icons on the teams whose games have started, and then run a standard build. So this is more a limitation of like what late swap is trying to do and how it is designed. And the standard build is going to serve you better in such a scenario as you described and basically as you arrived at as well. So I would definitely, especially like if you're using optimizer, trying to prioritize projected score, I would run a standard build if you have no players that have locked. This is definitely always a better option. All right. Next question. The NBA main slate for today is currently on one correlation. Would you recommend lowering, raising, or leaving it alone for single lineup building once we have our core of 3 to 4 people locked in? Good question. So yeah, the sliders here in the settings are going to change based on the number of games on the slate. So this is a 5-game slate. Sliders are 1-8. If we go and find a pass slate with a reasonably number of different games, we haven't had any big slates in a while. I'm looking for something like 10. There we go. We had a 10-game slate here. So we saw 1-8, I think, on 5 today, 5 games. Okay, we go back to this 10-game slate. Sliders are 3-6. So normally what you're going to see is that as the number of games on the slate gets bigger, correlation goes up and sim diversity is going to come down. The reason for that is because when there are more games on the slate, you don't need to get as close to the optimal lineup in order to win. Inversely, right? Say you're playing a single game showdown, and we'll just pull one from this date. Go to a build. So on a single game showdown, the sliders are 0-10. This is the most accurate way to find an optimal lineup in SaberSim. So what's happening here is as the number of games go up, number of possible lineups go up, number of combinations, you don't need to get as close to the optimal. We can inflate ownership to promote either one, promote stacking, or two, to drive negatively correlated players away, which is more likely the scenario in NBA. And that's because the negative correlations are usually bigger in terms of absolute value than the positive correlations are. So like if I come to, who's a team that has like multiple stars? Maybe like Donovan Mitchell. Okay, I pull up Donovan Mitchell. His highest positive correlation is 0.06. His highest negative correlation is negative 0.13, right? And one of his teammates, Sam Merrill, he's like another shooter here, is tied with another player from the Spurs. But Sam Merrill is the highest negative correlation. This negative correlation is bigger in terms of size because it is 0.13 than the positive of 0.06, right? It is twice as large. The correlation slider going up, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's not going to promote stacking of Cleveland per se because the correlations to his teammates are rather low. 0.04 is the highest, and then it's 0.01. What it's going to do is make sure that these negative correlated players have a bigger hurdle in order to get into a lineup together. So it's not to say that Mitchell and Merrill can never be in the same lineup. It's to say that there is a very big bar that we are actually raising in order for how well both of them have to do to get into the same lineup together. That's what happens when we're increasing that correlation slider. It drives the negative players further apart, and then it pushes the positive correlations closer together, but it's all going to depend on what the correlation was to start. Now, we can do that when there are more games on the slate, and then sim diversity is also going to come down because we can rely a little bit more on the average projections. We don't need these super high tail outcome, one game sim occurrences in order to win these contests. Hey, we can play a lower sim diversity that still optimizes for upside, is a little bit safer and closer to the average here, and still have strong lineups in these contests. This is what our backtesting shows, right? We backtest contests of all different sizes, 2 games, 5 games, 10 games, as many games as there is, right? And then we figure out, hey, what slider settings produce lineups that have enough upside and create the highest EV lineups long-term, or like the most EV lineups long-term. And then we set the sliders to whatever perform the best for that slate size. So these sliders are updating based on number of games on the slate. I wouldn't recommend changing them unless you want to. That is the short of it, but we obviously dove a little bit deeper here. So that's what's going on with sliders. All right. Why don't we go back to today? Which is the 21st. Five games late. And why don't we do a slate demo? All right. So, brand new build. Haven't run anything. Not going to touch filters, rules, settings, like we kind of just talked about. Just going to make the two minimum required adjustments in order to unlock the build lineups button, which it looks like I made some change somewhere. I'm not going to question it here. But build lineups is unlocked. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to click build. All right. While this runs, good opportunity to import an entry file into SaberSim. We are going to let these lineups run. All right, we are getting into the post build here. Lineups are just about finished. I'm going to sort by exposure. Because I don't have an entry file uploaded, I'm not going to use portfolio. I am going to use uniques one, and I'm going to switch the rank by from old SaberScore to new SaberScore. Okay, great. Lineups load. I am going to drag this out a little bit here. I can either look at my lineups in row format, or I can look at them in expanded view. I have some aggregate metrics, SaberScore projection, a couple I recommend. Now, as far as things that I can do here, one thing that has come up that I have mentioned to people is that if you are making changes, it might be a good idea to add in a filter that says show lineups with SaberScore greater than zero, just to make sure you never go so far as to play negative SaberScore lineups. Or if you have to play SaberScore lineups, you basically come to a decision point, right? So let's say I'm in here, I'm making some minimax exposure adjustments. And because I have effectively filtered my pool down to 174 lineups. For instance, let's say that I want to play 100% Mikal Bridges. And the reason I'm picking him on purpose is because I know there are only 15 lineups in my pool with him, so I know this is going to throw an error. So I'm doing this on purpose. So now I get this yellow highlight, right? Builder's like, hey, you know, we don't have enough lineups to give you. We can give you 75% bridges, right? Now this is kind of like a decision point. I need to kind of decide, hey, what do I want to do about this, right? I have a couple options. Number one is I can rebuild lineups where it takes into account my bridges exposure up front, and it'll give my pool 100% of lineups with him. That's option one. Option two is I could say, okay, yeah, I'm actually fine with 75%. Let me lower my minimum exposure, and then that'll get rid of this error. Or I can decide to open up my filter and say, okay, well, what if I add some lineups from the pool into the pool, will I then have enough lineups to meet this exposure request, right? So I dropped my SaberScore from 0 to negative 10. Now there are 22 lineups in my pool with bridges, and now the error goes away. So I'm not saying that's like the best decision, but it helps you to know where you are at, right? Because if I didn't have this on and I just set the exposure, I would never know that I had to dip into negative SaberScore lineup territory in order to meet my request, right? So this is a little bit of like a guardrail where it throws up a flag, right? This yellow flag, and lets you know, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? This is where we're at, right? So I think that's like a good little marker to have in order to know how far you're going. Another thing you could consider, right, is if you turn this off, this filter, you could set up an aggregate metric that lets you know about this, right? So I go to aggregate metrics. Maybe I set up a minimum saber score. This would be another option, right? Hey, my lowest saber score lineup is actually -8. When this changes off, my lowest saber score lineup is actually 52, right? So 52 versus -8, you know, maybe I want to lower my exposure. So like, this is another option too, right? There's a lot of different ways to kind of do these things. I'm just kind of demonstrating a couple that I think can be useful. I think the aggregate metrics can be useful. I think filters can be useful. I think exposures plus rebuilding can be very, very beneficial if you're very particular about what you want to do with your lineups. So a lot of different ways to accomplish this. I just want to promote stuff that I think will protect you from playing lineups that SaberSim doesn't deem are the best, or give you opportunities or ways to find lineups that are going to be a little bit stronger. So those are my thoughts here. But aside from that, you know, basically just dialing it in. Once you are happy, you can save the lineups and upload them to your contests after you download them up here on the upper left. All right. Answer some questions, knocked out an NBA demo, talked through a couple scenarios that you can run into and ways that you can resolve those. Think we are all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.